Good morning. How are you today?
Morning.
Great, great. I'm just looking at my watch to see, okay, what's the temperature outside right now? I like somebody just said cold. No, I'm from Jamaica, so anything below 65, I'm sorry. I'm layers right now, okay? And I'm good. You know, if you come to my house, it's like a sauna right now. So seriously. My name is Corey Johnson. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church, and we're thrilled to have you worshiping with us this Sunday morning. Last week, Craig Muller, he kicked off our series, The Will of God, and he did a phenomenal job. And so this week, we're continuing in that series, and we're going to look at a gentleman who embraced his story. He embraced this story. And so what we're going to do, if you have your Bibles handy, could you turn with me to Acts chapter 22? Acts chapter 22. Let's bow your heads and let's pray before we get started. Lord, we thank you for your mercies and your grace towards us. Thank you, God, for loving us in spite of who we are. Your word tells us that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And so, God, as we approach your throne of grace this morning, we do so with all humility, acknowledging your love and your grace and your mercies. And so, God, as we gather in this house to hear your word, I pray, God, that you'll speak to us collectively and individually. I pray, dear God, that even as we should walk out of these doors today, we can say it was good for us to be here. But above all, God, that we heard a word for our lives. Pray, dear God, that we'll not just be hearers of your word, but we'll be doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is a sense in which all of us are what I would consider to be theologians or philosophers. And I say that to the extent in which we ask ourselves some very basic questions. I don't know about you, but, you know, in light of the events that's been happening lately and with everything that is happening around our world, there are some basic questions that we always grapple with time and time again. And one of those basic questions, the first of which is, who am I? Have you ever asked yourself that question, who am I? Oh, you've never, oh, I'm the only one, okay. Who am I? And, you know, depending on your philosophies, depending on your background, you might have a different answer to that question. The next question that we always grapple with is, what am I doing here? What is my purpose for being here? Have you ever asked yourself that question? You know, you feel as though you're going around in circles, you're not making any progress, you know, there's a season in life where you feel as though, you know what, God, really, this again? I thought I've been down this road before. Really? And it doesn't feel as though you're making any progress. And you ask yourself, what is my purpose for being here? And then the final question that we always grapple with is, where am I going? What's my final destination? Is this culminating? Are we going towards something meaningful? Are we going towards something productive? And the reality is that depending on your background, you might walk away from those questions and conclude, first of all, that the answer to those questions are meaningless. Because depending on your background, you might say, you know what? We came from dust, we're going back to dust, and after everything is said and done, after the earth is burned up in entropy and everything like that, nothing will remain. So nothing that we do in this life matters. So there are people out there who believe that. There are others out there who would say that the answers to those questions are unknowable. You can't know the answers to those questions because we serve a transcendent God and language, the human language, it's not sufficient to communicate the will of God in any meaningful way. But for the believer, for the person who is a follower of Jesus Christ, I would hope that we subscribe to a different perspective, and that is the answers to those questions are, number one, knowable. And the answers to those questions are meaningful. And I would hope that the place that we go to find the answers to those questions is the Word of God. You see, I don't know about you, but this is what I live by. you know, I might not live by it perfectly, but I have to keep going back to it time and time again, because there are different philosophies, there are different point of views out there that are always contradicting something. But I have to go back to the Word. I have to go back to the thing that does not change. Guess what? Your feelings might change. You might acquire new information and new knowledge. That might change. But the Word of God does not change. And because of that, I can keep going back to it as my source. I can keep going back to it as my final authority. And I love this church because we believe this. We believe and we preach this. Amen? Amen. And so the reason why I bring those things up is because knowing the will of God is very important for us as believers. It's very important for us as believers. And one of the ways that we understand or get a sense as to the will of God for our lives, one of the ways that we ascertain that is through our stories. Is through our stories. In other words, each one of us in here, we have a unique, individual, personal story. And as you begin to unpack that, you will see God at work in our lives. And if you begin to listen to God and to begin to tune into what He's doing, you'll see that He's actually revealing His will through your story. And so what we're going to do this morning, we're going to look at one gentleman in particular who understood his story. He lay hold of his story. He lived his story. And now as he goes back to his people, he's telling his story again. And we're going to see if we can unpack and get some truths from that. Is that okay? All right. Acts chapter 22. This is Paul. He's back in Jerusalem. And as he's back, he's brought in, you know, in the temple courts, if you will. And now he's standing up and he's addressing the people. They are upset. They're ticked off at him for what he has done. And now he's standing up and he's given a defense. He's given his story as to how things pan out. And so let's pick it up at Acts chapter 22, verse 1. It says, "Brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, 'I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as the high priest and all the council can themselves testify. I even obtained letters from them to their associate in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished.'" We're going to stop there for a moment. And what we're going to do for the rest of the service is that we're just going to read a little bit, talk a little bit, read a little bit, talk a little bit. Is that okay? Thank you. And so the question is this morning, what is your story? And so as we look at Paul here, what we see Paul doing here, Paul is given a background. He's given his background as to, number one, his race, his place of birth, his education, his accomplishments. And one of the things that we have to understand as we begin to understand our own story is that God, can you see God at work in your past? In other words, before you came to Christ, before you came to church, before you fell in love with Jesus, before you started to sing the songs that we sing, can you see how God was at work in your life before you met Jesus? Because the reality is, God was at work even before you knew anything about Him. And we see this happening in the life of Paul. When Paul is giving his testimony here, he was not a believer at the time. He was a Pharisee, and man, he was making great strides in his belief systems. And we see here that it says that, number one, he was a Jew. He was born in a very popular city. Not only that, but he studied under one of the most prominent teachers of the day. You would consider it the Harvards of the day, if you will. That's where he studied. But even in those situations, even before he met Jesus, God was using, God was at work in his past, working things out, making things happen, so that at the moment when he met Christ, boom, his heart would change. So could you do me a favor? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, oh boy. God doesn't waste anything. I know in our country we like to waste a lot of stuff. But our God, he does not waste anything. Every situation, every experience, everything that you've encountered in your past, it's all a part of God's grand plan to have you meet Jesus. God does not waste anything. Amen? You know, as I stand here before you and I'm speaking to you, you know, I had to come to grips with my own story. It's like, how is it that I'm standing before you today speaking to you? How is that possible? And as I look back in my past, I could see God at work in my past as well. When I was about 5 years old, I can remember very distinctly when my mother got saved. I was 5 years old. I mean, it's like an image imprinted in my mind. I could tell you the church service. I could tell you what the preacher was wearing on that Sunday and everything like that. Because the way my mom got saved, it was the talk of the town because they've never seen anything like that before. And if you come from a Pentecostal tradition, you know, you understand what I'm saying, if you will, because it was very dramatic, if you will. And that left an impression in my mind that I never forgot. And over the years, I could see where God kept you know, bringing me back to that image. He kept bringing me back to that heritage. He kept bringing me back to that point to say, son, I've been at work in your life ever since you were 5 years old. And even if I had time, I would tell you, even before I was born. You being here this morning is not an accident. You being here this morning is not a coincidence. God was at work in your past to bring you to the very seat that you're sitting in this morning, listening to my voice. Amen? Our God doesn't waste anything. And so every one of us, your past has contributed to where you are today. What does that mean about your future? It has everything to do about your future. See, some of us, we've planted some seeds. Literal or figurative, it doesn't matter. And some of us, we're reaping the fruits of those seeds that we've planted. And so the question now becomes, okay, if I want to change my future, what must I do today? Change the seeds you're sowing. Does that make sense? So if you want to ensure a successful future, if you will, start sowing better seeds. Start making better choices. Amen? That was on this side. Okay. Let's continue in the text. Verse 6 says, about noon, about this time, as I came near to Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul responds, who are you, Lord? I ask. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Note this. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. Let's pause there for a minute. My companions, they saw the light, but they did not understand the voice that was speaking to me. In other words, there are going to be circumstances in your life that other people can see you going through. But the meaning of that situation is yours and yours alone. You might be going through a financial hardship and others might see you, okay, my sister is going through a financial hardship. Oh, somebody might be released from their job and somebody can see that, okay, he was released from the job. You might be going through a sickness and somebody might say, okay, I can see how that person got sick. But the meaning of that is between you and God alone. In other words, it's very difficult. And I see this all the time when people are going through some things and you come to other people and say, hey, can you help me understand what I'm going through? Yes, we can give you pointers. Yes, we can point you in the right direction. But ultimately, the person that you need to go to is God. God, why am I going through this at this stage in my life? Because at the end of the day, He is the one that has the answers. My companions, they saw the light, but the voice, only Paul could understand. Does that make sense? It's good to get counsel from other people. It's good to get counsel from your pastor. But at the end of the day, you're on a journey with the Lord. You're on a journey with Jesus. And if you're on a journey with Jesus, He's the one who has the answers. Amen? Let's continue. Paul asked a very interesting question in verse 10. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go into Damascus. There you will be told that all that you have been assigned. My companions led me by the hands into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. So first, as we're unpacking our own story, the first question that we grappled with, okay, are you able to see God at work in your past? The next question that we have to deal with this morning is, how is God getting your attention? How is God trying to get your attention? You see, Paul here was man, he was riding into Damascus, man. He even got letters from the authorities saying, I have authority written on paper to pull you out of your house and to throw you in prison because you're a heretic. He was authorized to do what he was doing. But as he went, as he was on his way, the Lord met him, knocked him down, got his attention, and spoke to him. And so the question that we have to deal with this morning is, how is God trying to get your attention? If God is trying to reveal his will to you, he's first going to get your attention. He did it to Moses. Remember? Burning bush. Grabbed his attention, then he spoke to him. And for some of us, because of the busyness of life, we never see that God is trying to, hey, Susie, hey, John, I'm speaking to you. We're so busy that we miss it. I have one of these things. They call it a smartphone. I remember when it was just a flip phone. Okay, I'm dating myself. Okay, let me stop. And when I'm at work, one of the things that I have to do is I have to put it on vibrate, or I have to turn it down so that it doesn't ring, especially in a meeting, right? That's the worst place for your phone to go off. But sometimes during the day, it's not until I go home at night that I realize that I actually missed a call. I'm scrolling through my phone log and I see, oh, I missed a call at 12:08 p.m. Oh, snap, who was that? So that's how the phone works. But I have another app on this. It's called Messenger or Messaging or something like that. And it works a little bit differently. I'm not that bad, all right? In other words, if you miss a call, somebody is able to text you and it pops up on the screen. You don't have to hear a voice. You don't have to, you don't have to answer right away. You are at liberty to respond whenever you please. Some of us, we don't respond for 24 hours, but I leave that alone. Right? So if the person can't get you via the phone, they'll try to get you via text message. And today we're on social media, so if they can't get you via text message, they'll hook you up on social media. Am I speaking the truth? Or am I speaking the truth? Okay. And the reality is, I wonder if that's not how God works at times. Sometimes he's trying to speak to you in an audible way, and because you're so busy, you miss the voice of God. And so now the next avenue he goes through his word, because now he's going to send you a text message. Okay, somebody's getting it. He's sending you a text message, and as you're reading it, you're receiving the message, and God said, yes, that's what I wanted it to do. But you know what? Some of us, we are so busy that we don't even see the text message that God is sending us. In other words, God is trying to get our attention, but we are so busy that we miss his voice. We miss his text message. And you know what? God is so gracious. God is so unrelenting that he will not stop until he gets your attention. Let me share with you my story. I was about 19 or so. I grew up in church, and, you know, from I was a tot, I grew up in church. And so on this particular day, I used to love cars. I still do. I had a Honda Civic hatchback SI. Somebody knows what that means. And back in the 90s or so, one of the things that was very popular was that you would get an Acura Integra engine and swap it out with a Honda Civic because it's a lighter body with a powerful engine. It goes real fast. I had my straight mufflers and I had my, you know, big profile rims and low profile tires and everything. Man, I was nice. When you come down the block, you know when Corey is on the block. So one Sunday in particular, I was washing my car, and I had friends who were into this thing as well. So one of my friends pulled up as I was washing my car and said, "Hey, we're going up to Bear Mountain. You want to join us? It's a Sunday." Sunday, I was supposed to be in church. And I just said, "Sure." Let me just finish up here, and I'll join you. So finish up, proceeded onto the Bronx River Parkway. If you know anything about the Bronx River Parkway, there's a northbound and there's a southbound and there's a divider in the middle. So we went on the Bronx River Parkway and then we decided to do something very fun. We decided to race the Bear Mountain. So now we are about 2 minutes into this thing now, we're racing up. And all of a sudden, I came up on a car in front of me. And, you know, I'm doing about, say, 60, 70. And this car is in front of me. So instead of going through the car, I decided to go around the car because that makes sense. As I proceeded to overtake the vehicle in front of me, I must have oversteered. Because I don't know about you, I love a stick shift. I downshifted, did my thing, turned the vehicle, oversteered, the steering wheel locked. Went into a spiral, talking about traffic is flowing, went into a spiral, hit the middle dividing barrier, come back, hit the middle dividing barrier again, and actually ended up on the other side of the Bronx River Parkway. Had I gone another 5 feet, I would have ended up in a ditch. Stepped out of the car. Car was folded in half. At the time, I had a flip phone. So I called the emergency guy, came. He said, "Young man, was there somebody else in that car?" I said, "No." I said, "Why?" He said, "Apparently the way the everything happened, at the end of the day, there was an indentation on the windshield which seemed to suggest that somebody's head should have gone through the windshield." So he said, "Are you okay? Do you have any scratch on you?" I'm like, "No. I can do that dance Pastor Greg wanted me to do earlier." Not a scratch, nothing. And I walked away from a car that is totaled, totaled. I couldn't even salvage anything from it. It was totaled. And I walked away without a scratch. Thank you, Lord. And in that moment, I realized that God was trying to get my attention. I said to God, "As of that day, I will be in church every Sunday. I've missed a few." But for the most part, I was only spared from that only by the grace of God. Do you see? But God was trying to get my attention, and he did. He did. The reality is that sometimes God is trying to get your attention, and sometimes he has to put you in a situation that, listen, you can't do anything about it. All you can do is listen. Sometimes it's going to be the loss of a job. Sometimes it's going to be the loss of a relationship. Sometimes it's going to be a sickness. When you're just laid out on your back in a hospital bed, can't move, can't go to work, all you can do is just listen to God speaking to you. He's trying to get your attention. Why? Because he has something for you to deliver, and only you and you alone can deliver it. I was speaking to someone earlier this morning, and she said something which is very profound. All of us have a voice. And even as I'm preaching right now, this message might not resonate with some of you. And some of you, you're like, yes, Corey, Pastor Corey, I'm right there with you. And some of you are like, okay, Pastor Corey, when are you going to shut up? But the reality is that I might not be able to speak to everyone, but I'm able to speak to someone. Guess what? That person that I'm not able to connect with, probably God has put something in your voice. Probably God has put a message in your stomach. Probably God has put something in you that you can share with somebody else who's going to bring them to a better place. God has something for you to do, and He's trying to get your attention. Are you listening? Are you listening? Let's continue in the text. So God got his attention. He spoke to him, went into Damascus. Verse 12. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Listen to this. Then he said, "The God of our ancestors has chosen you to do three things. Number one, to know his will. Number two, to see the righteous one. And number three, to hear his word." Talk about a profound assignment. Here is Paul. He was not around, if you will, or in the vicinity at that time when Jesus was walking with his disciples. So he was not a part of the 12 that Jesus intimately poured his life into. But somehow this one particular man who God was working in his past, who God had gotten his attention, this one particular man was now going to hear the voice of the righteous one. He was going to receive his message, and he was going to know the will of God. Talking about profound. Verse 15, "You will be my witnesses to all the people of what you have seen and heard. And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name." The point I want to make here is, okay, can you see God working in your past? Number two, how is God trying to get your attention? And number three, can you hear God's voice through others? Can you hear God's voice through others? Because Ananias became a mouthpiece for God. Paul, you have an assignment. He heard the voice of the Lord, and then he received confirmation from Ananias. This is what God wants you to do. Can you hear the voice of God through others? And the reality is that God just not only speak to us through our fellow Christian believers, he might also use unbelievers to speak to us as well. A few years ago, while I was at my previous church, we were at a different stage in life, and our family was like, you know what, we just needed a change of venue. Have you ever been there where you just know that, okay, you know what, I just need to move. Okay. And so we decided to go to move to Virginia. We were thinking of moving to Virginia. We had been to Virginia several times. We loved the state. It's not too far south. It's not too far north. It was just perfect for our lifestyle. And so we decided that, you know what? Next year, this time, we're going to be in Virginia. We had gone down to Virginia. We scouted out an area. We knew where we were going to be. And all we had to do was to write a check to secure the house that we were going to be in. And then all we had to do was to pack up and move. Around that time, me and my wife, we were fasting, we were praying, because they're saying, "God, is this your will? Is this your will? Is this your will?" So one day I was at work, And, you know, me, I like to give people notice as to what's going on. I said to my boss, hey, boss, you know, within 6 months, we're finding ourselves in Virginia. You know, you need to get somebody in here so that we can train them up so that, you know, they can know the system inside out so that we can leave you in a good place. Several weeks passed by. He came back into my office another day, and we had a meeting. And as he was leaving the door, as he was leaving my office, he went to the office door, turned around, faced me. I was at my computer. I looked up. He said, Corey, I know you want to go to Virginia, but I'm going to do everything in my powers to keep you here. I looked at him, I heard him, but I heard another voice. I said, thank you, and I got on the phone right away, called my wife, and I said, honey, you never believe what I just heard. I heard God speaking through my boss. We went on another 7-day fasting and everything like that, just to make sure that God, this is what you want for our lives and everything like that. And, you know, a few weeks later, God worked it out that we were able to stay in New York. Fast forward of several months. Now, our kids, they were in private school. We didn't renew the contract. And so the period for us to renew the contract had passed. So we're like, where are we going to go to school? We were fully committed to going to Virginia. And my wife said to me, Corey, you're working in Long Island, right? I'm like, yes. Why not move to Long Island? It never occurred to me. We moved to Long Island. I fell in love with East Meadow. yeah, I fell in love with East Meadow. But when we went to East Meadow, God worked it out that East Meadow was not where we were supposed to be. Syosset was where we were supposed to be. As we came to Syosset, we went to Shelter Rock Church. Talking about how God works, showing you how God works. Came to Shelter Rock Church, hooked up with Pastor Jack. Pastor Jack discovered that I was a preacher, I was a pastor, and I was just trying to just chill out in church. He told Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve said, do you have a recording of your sermons? I sent him a recording of my sermon and said, Corey, can you preach at Syosset campus? I was like, okay, Lord, if this is your will, I'm going to do it. Preach there. A few years later, I'm standing right before you this morning. What I'm trying to say to you is that, are you hearing God's voice through others? My boss said to me, Corey, I'm going to do everything in my powers to keep you here. And I'm like, okay, I hear my boss speaking, but I hear my boss speaking. Yes. That changed everything. Amen? Listen, just don't think that God is going to speak to you through your fellow believers and fellow saints. That is wonderful. But be in tune to hear God's voice through any medium. Amen? Amen? But always go back to the Word of God for confirmation. Always go back to the Word of God for confirmation. One more point, then we're going to wrap it up. Let's continue. Verse 17. When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance. And saw the Lord, speaking to me. Quick, he said, leave Jerusalem immediately because the people here will not accept your testimony about me. Lord, I replied, these people know that I went from synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your Martha Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then the Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. My final point is this. What has God called you to do? What has God called you to do? God was at work in your past. Again, we're trying to unpack our story. God was at work in your past, right? Not only was he at work in your past, but he's been trying to get your attention. Right? And now, as you hear God's voice in other people, the question now becomes, what has God called you to do? There's a specific assignment for you. There's a specific task for you that God wired you a certain way. He structured your speech pattern. He gave you your educational background. He gave you your personality. You're uniquely designed for a particular task. Have you discovered that yet? I have three kids. Three very different kids. But one of the things I noticed over the years is that every summer something happens. Every summer something happens. All of a sudden, the clothes that they used to wear becomes short. The sleeves that they used to have becomes shorter. Not only that, but their shoes become tighter. Have you ever experienced that? And so instead of stretching the shoes, what we tend to do is that we tend to buy new shoes, right? So that it fits, so that it's comfortable. The reality is that whenever your faith and your trust in God is growing, your comfort zone begins to shrink. In other words, what you used to be comfortable with, you're no longer comfortable with it. Why? Because your faith is growing. Your faith and your trust in God is expanding. And that little zone, that little area that you used to be like, you know what, God, I'm very comfortable here. I'm very okay here. I am not moving. It begins to shrink, begins to shrink, begins to shrink, and it becomes uncomfortable. And instead of trying to expand it, what God is saying, I need you to step out of it and trust me. Paul was very comfortable with his Jewish audience. But God said, listen, I want you to step outside of your comfort zone. I want you to go to the Gentiles because that is my will for your life. Can I say to you this morning that God is going to challenge you wherever you are? And he's going to want you to step out of your comfort zone. Because can I tell you that it's when you step out of your comfort zone that all the action begins to happen. Ah. You begin to see and experience God in a whole new way. Amen? And as the praise team is coming, could you please stand to your feet with me this morning? What has God called you to do? It's going to be uncomfortable at times, but it's what he's wired you to do. If you look at the letters of Paul, it will blow you away at the depth of this man's understanding about the Old Testament and about God. It was this man that God selected to speak to the Gentiles. It was this man that God selected to write most of the New Testament. That's why we're able to hear the gospel in a whole different way this morning. What has God tasked you to do? Could you bow your heads with me? If you don't know what it is, just ask him. If you don't know what it is, just ask him. God, what will you have me to do? God, you've gotten my attention. I'm listening. I am present. What will you have me to do? It's going to be unique for every person. It's going to be unique to who you are. But God has something that only you and you alone can do. Ask him. Bow your heads. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this moment. Thank you that you're still speaking to the hearts of your people. I pray, dear God, that every person that is under the sound of my voice this morning, that we will discern, that we will grasp, that we will lay hold of your will for our lives. Father God, there is something that you've specifically designed us to do. Will you reveal that to our hearts this morning? God, we don't want to be walking around without any purpose. We don't want to live a life that seems meaningless. We want to do something for you. We want to do something for your kingdom that will change the lives of people forever. Show us what that is. It could be just being an encouragement to someone. It could be just saying God loves you. It could be just sharing our story with someone else. But whatever it is, God, reveal it to us, because we want to know your will for our lives. Thank you for what you're about to do in our lives this week, as we bless you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.